Welcome back to Compliments to the Chef. I'm your host, Nancy.
And I'm your host, Bits.
And it's episode 7 in the Bake Off tent, Meringue Week.
Lucky number 7, stiff peaks abound.
Before we get into the episode, something that will not surprise listeners is that Bits and I are content hounds. The rate at which we consume content is deplorable at best and just frightening at its worst. And Bits hit an incredible milestone this week in her non-Bake Off content consumption. Bits, would you like to tell the class?
I would. I finished my second rewatch. Oh, man, it might have been third, if I'm being honest. It's been a while of Mad Men.
Oh.
And Nancy, what a finale.
That show is a work of art. Every single episode, start to finish, there are no duds, no whammies, no lulls.
I miss it so bad.
I know. But it's the type of thing you can only rewatch once every few years because it's a lot.
Oh, yeah. And you need a palate cleanser. And boy, did I cleanse my palate because I crushed a ton of GBBO afterwards, including this episode. And I'm so excited to talk about it. I feel like I'm digging this season, you know? There are certainly flaws, but I won't get ahead of myself. We need to talk about the ep, but
that's
just where my head's at early.
I too am digging this season. I like the crew we've got going into week 7. Like, I feel as though they've culled the pack very responsibly.
Mm-hmm.
And we're left with some very talented bakers. That said, I don't think we have any leftovers. So why don't we begin?
Okay, Nancy. Amuse-bouche reactions to Meringue Week, episode 7.
Episode 7, Meringue Week. My amuse-bouche reaction is another banger of a technical, which just gets me so hyped. That it was a delight. And I love this episode. I love meringue. I love pavlova. It makes me think of Passover. So, you know, it's a fun time had by all. And the one thing I'll say about meringue is that there actually isn't a lot to do with meringue other than the three things we saw them do with meringue. Right?
Yeah. I mean, well, you did say pavlova, which we didn't get a pavlova. So they could have had that.
Is a pavlova just like a baked meringue or does it have to be with like the fruit preparation?
I think a pavlova has multiple types of meringue. But it has the Swiss meringue and Italian meringue, maybe like the soft.
A pavlova is a popular meringue-based dessert with a crisp outer shell and a soft marshmallow-like center, topped with whipped cream and fresh fruit. It is the national dish of Australia and New Zealand?
That's out of pocket. I did not think they liked that down there. So
what happened to Vegemite?
Well, that's savory.
Yeah, I guess.
They put that in their sausage rolls.
But this says national dish, which implies sweet and savory.
Well, man, I guess you can't have a brand. Like, we couldn't have, like, Bush's baked beans as our national food as much as I'd like it to be.
Literally American cheese.
Yeah, but that's not a brand. You've got, like, Clearfield American. Mm-hmm. That's a brand.
Kraft Singles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Clearfield white American cheese is the best sandwich cheese.
Oh,
shout out.
I mean, it really depends for me. You know, I have a lot of opinions on sandwiches. Yeah. I can't believe you so irresponsibly opened up Pandora's box like this at the top of the pod.
What was I?
But without getting into too much detail, I would say cheddar is a divine sandwich cheese.
White cheddar. I don't like those orange cheddar slices.
Well, you don't have to eat them. Anyway, Bits, what's your amuse-bouche reaction?
I agree. I think that this technical was awesome. I love a technical with like high stakes and, you know, they had to be like, bake, which not to jump ahead, but like, why did they have to like whisper bake? Like, nobody's stuff was in the oven yet. Did you notice that? I was like, what's, why are we being quiet? Like, I guess maybe just so they didn't flub it up later. But yeah, great technical, a great showstopper too.
Yes.
Great showstopper. There's some fun tidbits to talk about there. But I
fun for the whole family, really.
Let's kick it off with the signature because mm-hmm. I love a signature when they have to do like a dozen or like a set amount of something. We got 12 mm-hmm. mini meringue pies. They needed to have shortcut pastry filling and a meringue topping. Very like right down the middle, you know, as far as wasn't crazy, wasn't stupid. It was just like very conservative. What did
conservative who's jumping out to you? Perfect word for this. Whose work is jumping out to me? That's a great question. As much as it like sort of pains me to say, I really did want to try Jasmine's. I'll deny it if you ever hold me to it. But a passion like fruit her favorite raspberry choices. Combo. Yeah,
it sounds. She really does pick delectable choices. Like she's not. You know, we've had the constructive criticism that she goes a little bit more, for lack of a better word, conservative or like not mm-hmm. super risky. But safe. She always picks flavors that I want to eat, including mm-hmm. this one. Passion fruit, yes. Raspberry.
It sounds delicious. Yeah, and it looked beautiful. It clearly tasted good. Good for her. I mean, don't get me started on the Paul Hollywood handshake fake out. Oh, like, God. Enough is enough already, my guy.
So stupid.
The favoritism on this season feels like the most blatant we've seen. It's just ridiculous.
I struggle. I don't know if it's favoritism or if she's just like consistently blowing everybody out of the water. Like, I think she just sort of like ran away with this. It's giving Danny like season 21 Top Chef.
Yeah, but you know how I feel about Danny.
Just what it's given.
But that was all relative. That's the issue with Danny. Sorry, I said it out loud for the first time ever on the pod. It was relative. He was the nicest house on the ugliest block. No offense. I can't believe I just said that out loud. I can't believe I admitted it. That is something that we've only ever said to each other in private, and I said it aloud. But whatever. Hopefully our Top Chef fans are not listening to this episode.
I will say, to bring it back to GBBO. Okay.
Okay, fine.
So whatever. Simple flavors. Shots fired. Simple flavors, but cool execution. Tom.
Oh, yeah.
Rhubarb strawberry. It did have a disgusting texture, though. So, oops.
Did it have a disgusting texture? Because Paul, when Prue said disgusting texture, that is the harshest criticism I've ever heard leave anyone.
I do not like the way they were treating Tom this episode. I did not like it at all.
But I, to Paul's credit, when Prue said disgusting texture, you saw him physically recoil and look at her like, did you just say that out loud? It was so out of pocket.
Yes.
And then Paul didn't agree. Paul said he thought it was fantastic. I think in my notes I have, it is not clear to me that Prue likes meringue at all. So why do this episode?
Yeah. Yes, dude. Yes. I mean, that's the judgy table.
Oh, wait. Is that your judgy table? I don't want to take it.
I mean, yes, but like, that's okay. Let's have it out right now. Let's have our dessert first because.
Oh.
What are we doing? Like, pick in the whole universe of desserts, you couldn't find something that, like, both of them liked? And also, like, I don't need to know that she doesn't like it. Keep that to yourself.
It's very also, like, it's not annoying. As though Tom picked an ingredient like peanut butter that we know Prue doesn't like. The entire episode is meringue. It was chosen by the show.
Well, in their defense, she did like baked meringue. She didn't like not baked raw. Like, I don't like brûlée. She didn't like it when it was torched.
But they all torched it.
But right. But like in the later rounds when they had to like actually bake the meringue in the oven, that's what she likes,
which I'm like,
then it's just hard. I don't know. I don't understand how you don't like marshmallow. I guess that's the crux, but I don't understand how you don't like marshmallow. What's wrong with you?
Okay. So I agree that Tom really got a raw deal, especially on this challenge, but in this episode. But talk to me about Aaron's.
Oh, I liked. See, I would have led with Aaron's. I think blackcurrant chestnut cream, so interesting. I find baking with, I don't know that, have I ever had a chestnut? I don't think I've ever even had a chestnut.
I know. I was sitting there like, I can't conjure the image or taste of a chestnut.
Yeah. I can't either. I mean, roasting on an open fire. I can conjure, but I can't, I don't know what they taste like. It looked amazing. Mm-hmm. Prudent, like his blowtorch work, which.
Oh.
Yeah. And then I think, you know, we've got Leslie, blah, blah, blah. We've got Jasmine. We've got Ian. But I think the only other one worth talking about is honestly Toby's.
Toby.
His illusion. We got an illusion meringue. Apple pie. That was a tall apple pie.
Yeah.
It's got serious height. I thought that was like kind of weird. Like I couldn't get out of my head that it just was an apple pie that was like whoop, like up on stilts.
But apple pie gets really tall. My cousin Michael makes an apple pie every year. And it's because of all the moisture that comes out of the apples. But like, and that's why you lattice it. But my cousin doesn't lattice it. He's a very talented baker. And it creates this huge dome of pastry over the pie.
Right. It was just the height to width ratio. That was like the funny part. Like it was like, yeah. It was like a coffee cup, but like a apple pie.
Yeah.
But Paul loved it, and he got a real handshake for this one, not a left-handed handshake.
Yes. And he deserves – someone besides Jasmine deserves some kudos in this tent.
Yes, yes, yes. Why did he do the left hand? I'm so mad. I'm so annoyed about that. So
mad.
It honestly embarrassed me for him.
Yeah. Why? He did a few half handshakes last season. God, I'm Paul, sorry. You're so embarrassing. Like, literally, stakes have never been lower.
He's going to do – you know what I want him to do? I want him to, like, put a glove out, and he's, like, his hand's not in it, and goes to shake, like, a baker's hand, and it's just, like, air. And he's like, gotcha. You thought I was shaking your hand. You're wrong.
You were wrong.
Oh my God. Well, Nancy, let's move on to what we think is perhaps the highlight of this episode, which is the technical. Talk to me about what we had going on here.
We had to make 4 raspberry sorbets.
Soufflés. Sorbets.
Oh my God. I'm so embarrassed. I can't believe I said that. You had to make 4 raspberry soufflés with a rounded tuile. And raspberry souffle is, I believe, close to God in terms of dessert. I had a life-changing raspberry souffle in Paris with my mom. My mom and I went to this restaurant that I believe I've recommended to you.
I went with my mom.
And I dream of this raspberry souffle, and it came with a chocolate sauce that you poured over it.
Whoa.
Oh my God. Sent me into the stratosphere of divinity, nirvana, whatever religion you ascribe to. It was that. I saw God in this souffle, in this chili.
Oh my goodness. The bigger and souffle, the closer to God.
What souffle did you get at Le Recomier?
I don't remember. I think we actually got a cheese souffle.
Savory.
I'm going to be honest. I mean, it was good, but I'm not for all the love I have for like interesting textures. I don't know that I don't not like souffle. I just feel like they're really hard to find these days.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they are rare.
Yeah. Like, and so I feel like the things I've thought were souffles were really just like molten lava. You know what I mean? Or just like not... I don't know. Like, I think I've maybe had like 2 or 3 in my life, or that I can remember.
I believe I have had at most 5 in my life.
Yeah.
They're a very rare bird. But oh, are they very rare? The rarest birds. What's that French bird that we learned about in that movie where they eat the whole thing?
Oh, God. I forget. Yeah, they just, they bones and all. Kendra would know.
Bunting.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. There we go. Yes, Kendra would know. Shout out Kendra. Listen to our episode with Kendra in our movie blockbuster series. But we digress. Okay.
Yes. Can I say the thing I loved the most about this technical is that we had like a strong divergence of correct technique. Yes. So we had actually only one person in the pack, Ian, correctly or closer to correctly identified that the peaks needed to be on the more medium peak side or softer peak, whereas everybody else went stiff, stiff, stiff. And even he didn't really like nail that, but we saw a lot of flat souffles because of it.
Yes, we did. I loved seeing how quickly they sank. Like that was incredible. When when Paul and Prue were doing their little tete-a-tete in the explanation of the challenge, you could see that from the time that they dug into those souffles to the end of their discussion, the souffle was completely sunken.
Yeah. It's so crazy. Science. It is science. But I don't know
maybe
how.
Maybe I'll try to make us a souffle at the end of this season.
That would be fun. Let's do a souffle night.
Ooh, okay. That
let's
could be
do
cute.
Let's do our top three things that we liked from this season. I think that would be
That's
fun.
That's such a good idea. Okay, we're going to do it. But okay, here's why I loved, because we haven't really talked about the challenge. Here's why I love this challenge. First off, they've done souffle one other time. It was in a season finale. I don't remember what season. But the trick there was that it was a single big ramekin as opposed to four small ramekins of souffle. Mm-hmm. And it just like the second that they said everyone leave the tent but Ian, the tingle that went up my spine was electric. I was like, oh my God, I hope it's souffle. I hope it's souffle or like some other cool time dessert. And it was, and it was so fun.
Ugh.
And it, yes, this is a highly, highly, highly technical dessert. And as we all know, I love super technical things or watching super technical things. And it just was so cool to see them, as you said, the differentiation between the different techniques and what worked and what didn't. You really got a whole spectrum of success here.
Yes. I also love the, like, as always, there's a stupid accoutrement. So we had like the tuil and some people like put it on the souffle. Some people put it to the side. I kind of was like judging the people that put it to the side. I was like, you got to put that on top.
Oh, really? Because I was actually confused by the people who put it on top because
it would flatten it.
Well, that, but the way Paul and Prue had it displayed on their table, it was on the side.
Yeah, I don't know why I had that like knee-jerk reaction. Like, you got to put it on top. It does sound so good, though. I'm craving it. I've never even had it, and I crave it.
We gotta find somewhere in New York City that can make us a souffle stat.
Stat. Hurry, Doc. Stat. What's wrong with her? She needs a souffle. More so particularly, a raspberry souffle.
With a folded twill.
On the side. Oh my God.
So stupid.
So stupid. Well, how did everybody fare this?
So glad you
this
asked.
Technical?
So in sixth place, we had Leslie. Leslie had a tough week. And
no.
What do you mean, no? Did I get it wrong?
No, I'm upset for her.
Oh, I thought you were like, no, it wasn't Leslie. I will die on the hill that she should have won Pastry Week. Like, I am still so effing pissed about that. And yeah. I think it got to her head. That's all I can say about that. But so Leslie came in last on the technical, followed by Tom, then Jasmine, middle of the pack. Then we had Toby. In second place, we have Aaron, our boy Aaron. And then in first place, we had Ian, who I loved this interjection from the producer, said that he used 230 extra grams of sugar in his souffle.
That is crazy. Oh, my God. That was a lot. Like, just a side note, I love that they broke the fourth wall to tell us that.
Yeah. Boy's got a sweet tooth.
Maybe boy's got a sweet tooth. Boy's got a sweet tooth.
It was fabulous.
What is... That's like,
are you looking it up?
20 extra tablespoons of sugar? That cannot be right. Hold on.
Shut up.
Wait, 230 grams?
I mean, it might be.
I think that's what he said, right? That's the amount?
Yeah, 230 grams of extra sugar. How many tablespoons is that?
Okay. That is...
Oh my God, honey. What's it going to be? The suspense is killing me. It's also killing our listeners.
Who? It is.
Don't tune in for silence.
Okay, that is 22 extra tablespoons. How did he win? That's so insane. 230 grams of sugar is 21.9 to be exact.
And that's split between four souffles. So 5 extra tablespoons of sugar in one of those ramekins.
Oh my
extra
God.
On top of all the sugar that's already in there.
That's like a third of a cup more or something like that. Crazy. Whoa.
Oh, my goodness. Ian, you're
crazy.
Wow,
so theirs must have been bad.
Everyone else must have really sucked.
There, I will say that there's been a decent amount of like winning by default on this season, if I'm being honest.
Interesting. Well, I think Ian deserved it. I think he crushed it. He also was the first one in the tent.
I love Ian.
So like here's the thing. The second they said staggered, I'm sure everyone immediately was like, souffle. That's the only thing that it can
yeah,
be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But Ian like got it all at once, whereas everyone else got to sit and think and like plan for this. So yes. I give it to Ian. But let's move on to the showstopper. Tell us about the showstopper bits.
We saw the bakers needing to create a Vacherin glacé. Looks like cheese, tastes like ice cream. Why did they say that? I mean, I think it's like something from Austria, but Nancy, it's a baked Alaska more or less without the like cake component.
Without the cake and without the flames.
Oh, true. It's not flambé.
It's not flambé.
I used to mix up flambé and enflagrante. What is it?
Enflagrante. Yeah. Wait, what is enflagrante?
Like naked. Like you caught me naked or like you caught me out like in a compromising position.
In the act of doing something wrong is enflagrante. Yeah. So usually naked.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's really funny. So you'd be like, I'd like my cherries en flagrante, sir.
Put them in a compromising position, please.
Like you
stiffer peaks.
When you like went out to dinner, like to the fancy restaurant with your parents and you were young and they would do the flambé table side, you'd be like, en flagrante.
You've caught us en flagrante. Well, let's see. Okay. Who do we catch en flagrante today? I will say, okay, I liked this showstopper because it felt like I this is GBBO, and when we cover this, we make sweeping generalizations that we don't really back up. But I have gotten the feeling this season that there is a lot of like, make a show-stopping diorama of like a life moment. And this one was just like, make a type of this type of dessert, like just make this type of dessert. And that was it. It wasn't like, make a 3-tiered cake inspired by your darkest fear. Like I just was happy that it didn't have to have a life story, though people took it that direction. They're so out of pocket. Yeah.
So ridiculous. But I actually wish that they had to do something narratively driven with meringue because it just would have been so delightful.
It would have been tragic looking. It would have been crazy.
Like I wanted them to have to make a meringue box and inside of it they had to, I don't know, like tell their deepest, darkest secret that they've never told anyone.
The thing you least likely want to break. Make this fragile dessert into the thing you treasure most. Well, we did get a lot of narrative stuff because most importantly, Ian came in with the callback of the season, of the series.
Oh my gosh.
And did Bingate from the last time in Ian from Belfast was in the tent and like binned his baked Alaska. He made like a trash can, like a full trash can, and it looks like trash. Okay. And in that way, it was perfect.
Something that was, not to put my tinfoil hat on here, but the way that they showed Bingate was a bit of revisionist history on the part of GBBO production. I just want to say this.
Wait, go on.
What actually happened, if you roll back the tape, is What's-His-Face was sabotaged. There was a sweet, quote-unquote, old lady in the tent, and they were making baked Alaska, and his was in the freezer, and she took his out of the freezer, put hers in, and just let it sit on the counter so his ice cream never set.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
And that's why it was melted. It wasn't because of – it was an unforced error. Or was a forced error. I can never remember, even though I like playing tennis. Doesn't matter. It wasn't his fault.
Oh, my God. And
the Great British Bake Off never could quite reconcile with the fact that the old lady sabotaged someone and that she didn't get eliminated for it.
That's shitty.
Mm-hmm.
That sucks. They should have done an old lady next to it.
Yeah. But it's just like I was floored that they didn't include that element
to
it
because it makes the nerve.
It makes it look like he overreacted to his own incompetence. But no.
Yeah.
He was thwarted in his quest for success.
I don't like that at all.
I don't like it at all. Justice for him. I literally can't even remember his name, but he didn't deserve to go home.
His name was Ian. His name was also Ian.
Ian from Belfast. Of course. Yeah. Justice for Ian from Belfast.
Justice for both of them. Justice for both of them. So that was very fun. And yes, thank you for reminding us. Never forget. I was a little nervous because Aaron came out with the Kitsune Sunday inspired. And I was like, this is going right over Paul's head. This man cannot
We know the man doesn't dabble in East Asia. We know.
We just got him warmed up on the food. Don't introduce the pop culture.
We literally just introduced gochujang to him like 3 days ago.
Are we talking about a completely different country now? Yes, but Paul wouldn't know that if he was listening. Oh, God.
He's like, soy sauce?
So, y'all got soy sauce?
Y'all got soy sauce?
Let's see. Toby went lactose free. That was hardcore. He made a nice little mango tree. I liked his. His was like kind of fun and flirty and colorful.
Yeah, kooky. It was a pina colada or whatever they called it. On the beach.
They're obsessed with those. They're obsessed with going to the beach and having pina coladas.
Who is the person I would least like to run into on the beach? Paul Hollywood.
Most likely Prue.
Prue.
I would have a pina colada with Prue.
Yeah, I'm sure she'd be a raucous old time.
Yeah.
But okay, let's talk about Tom. His giant mushroom cap of meringue was so delightful.
So cute.
So cute.
And little ferns
it.
On the side or little leaves, whatever they were. It was so precious.
Loved. Loved, 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 loved. They said that the flavors worked well together. It was beautiful. All good things. Aaron's, by the way, they called ethereal, which I liked. The all white. It really was beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous. Toby, they said neat and lovely. Leslie. Let's talk Leslie. Leslie made a wedding cake, and they were gobbling that thing up.
Yo,
Paul literally
reached
in with his hands.
Yeah, she was struggling too. She was like, oh shit, this isn't going to work. Hers always looked the most, like, I would just always eat. Like, they're just solid, you know, when you're at somebody's party, like, oh my God, she made something, like, nice. You know, you get excited. It looked gorgeous. I know she was like, oh, it's kind of like droopy. And I don't know. I thought it looked really good.
Mm-hmm. Well, I believe that she makes bakes that the British would refer to as Moorish, which means like something you want more of.
Oh.
Like the way
that
Paul
reached
in. That meant. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that that's what that slang was, unless my coworkers from London were making me sound dumb. Moorish, British slang. A term you may be thinking of is Moorish, the British slang adjective meaning a food that is so delicious you want to eat more of it.
Love, 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 love.
Not to be confused with Moorish.
The Moorish.
Which has a different meaning entirely.
Love.
Love. So
I would have, it's Moorish to me. I would have loved to eat that.
Amen, sister. And finally, finally, finally. We have a new star baker in the bake-off tent. Jasmine, step aside. Your
For
reign of terror is over.
For now.
For now. Yeah, so congrats to Toby. He totally deserved it.
Yeah.
I was delighted.
I was too. And unfortunately, we had to say goodbye.
To Leslie, who was robbed.
She could have been on top last week.
Moment of silence for Leslie's thwarted, again, second time I'm saying thwarted on this podcast, thwarted attempt at Star Baker and Pastry Week.
No!
Okay, Bits, you did your judgy table kind of, but I have something I need to get off my chest in this episode.
True, off my chest. Go for it.
Okay, Nancy, your judgy table starts now. 1 minute on the clock. There is no way that oh my God. Let me start this again. Nancy.
Okay.
Your judgy table starts now. 1 minute on the clock. There is no way that technical challenge was judged blind. Let me tell you why. They did it in the order of the bakers in the tent. All Paul and Prue had to do was remember where people were seated and they would know. Also, how did they get into the tent without seeing the order in which people were seated? That makes no sense. Also, they were talking and yapping. And Allison was like, let me take that from you. And Aaron's like, oh, here, be careful with it. Like, there is no way. There is absolutely no way.
Yes.
That Paul and Prue did not know whose bakes was whose, because it was so blaringly obvious, that it was the baker who belonged to each bake. And I just feel like I was curious how they were going to do the blind aspect of it, and I thought they did it in the worst way they possibly could. The end.
I completely agree with you on that. There is no way they didn't hear people's voices. Like, unless – no, I don't know. Like, it's not that big of a space, and they weren't even whisper talking. They were just, like, normal talking. I do think that there's a world where they were, like, backed into the tent or blindfolded. Like, so – okay. But I completely agree that, like, you could hear every word. Like, I don't know. Yes, I completely agree.
And that's so annoying. And they did it in the order. Like, why didn't they stagger it in a different order than the order in which they were seated at the desks or whatever you call them, their benches?
Right.
That was, to me, just a huge error on the part of production. Sorry, I don't
know. Well, they had to do it, like, they had to serve – what they should have done.
Big yawn.
Get ready. What they should have done was just have everybody in the tent to start, but just start one person and then the next person. Not like bring them into the tent.
Well, I guess they didn't want people seeing what the other person was doing.
Oh, okay. That's true.
I get why they had people out of the tent, but why, you know, like they could have done, instead of Toby, who was right next to Ian, why don't they do Tom or Jasmine? Like they should have mixed up the order a little bit.
Yeah, like come in, like Jasmine's first, and then way back in the corner, Tom, and then,
exactly.
Yeah. Okay, I hear. I follow you, yeah.
These are my thoughts. God. Thank you for listening to everybody. Something the internet did not ask for, but I gave it. So, with that, we have come to the end of Meringue Week.
Meringue Week. That was my David Bowie. I'm pretty good at being David Bowie. I love meringue, it's sweet and tasty. No, that was a little too melodic. It's sweet and tasty. Tasty.
I have a friend, shout out Brooke if you're listening. You're probably not because you have better things to do with your time and a child. But she does a John Lennon impersonation where she just goes, I'm John Lennon. Like, that's it.
I don't even think I could pick his voice out of a lineup, and he was like a lead singer of the Beatles.
She just goes, guys, I do a great John Lennon. And then everyone gets really quiet. She's like, I got to get into character. She goes, I'm John Lennon. That's it.
What a good note to end on.
So dumb. Anyway, from John Lennon and Yoko, signing off for this episode of Compliments to the Chef. Bye.